Welcome to the weekly. I'm Jeremy, and with me is Chris, as usual. But this week we had a little bit of technical trouble, so the beginning of our cast got cut off, the live stream itself. So I will just give you this quick introduction, and then we will go to what was left or what survived of the discussion for last week. And of course, I do mispronounce the name of the game Talislanta every time I say it, so bear with me with that. So this week on the weekly, TSR cannot die, Talislanta, the RPG before Dungeons & Dragons for Wizards of the Coast, and the UK Games Expo is still happening. So now let's resume the live stream where it picked back up. Means they were taken over. Who knows? But so they're making it another excuse and probably playing some kind of victim. Right. You know, well, it wasn't us. It wasn't us. It was an evil conspiracy, which I'm guessing was Wizards of the Coast, probably. They're hacking. Yeah. So anyhow.
You know, this reminds me of getting, like, not personal, but like in university, I was part of a fraternity. Mm-hmm. The fraternity's nickname was the Crows. Mm-hmm. In university, that was around the same time West Nile virus.
Oh,
hit. And so you got all these kind of like newspaper clippings about, like, you know, crows dying and all the murder. And like, we thought it would be kind of funny to run a rush campaign about, like, you know, like join the murder and all the stuff, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I was the one in charge of doing that, right? Because I could draw, right? So I was doing that. We got in trouble because I had the great idea of clipping out the approve stamp and just taping it on and photocopying it. So it looks like we got stuff approved, right?
Right.
School found out, they took us to task about it, and I was removed as the person in charge and then replaced by myself again. This smells like bullshit to me.
Right. And yeah, it may very well be the same actors may be involved in this, and they're just going to rebrand it. Yeah, another part or another statement, I guess, officially released by Michael K. Hovermail, who is the PR officer of TSR, LLC, is what they're saying. I wish to speak directly to the transgender community regarding this incident. The individual who was speaking to you on Twitter does not represent me or TSR in any way. Trans people are always welcome to play with us. Everyone is welcome at our table. Okay, that was there. So they're not apologizing for anything. Say, it wasn't me. It wasn't us. Well, we don't know who that was. So there we go.
Let's see what happens.
So from beyond the and just from the little clip from last week that we released was just about that TSR is dead. Yeah. And so many people in the comments were just saying, I feel nothing for this. I have no sympathy for this situation. So it's very odd that they're going to try to keep floundering and try to, yeah.
I knew we weren't going to talk about it. But like you said, this thing doesn't die.
Yes.
And like we said before, kind of the only path, not the only path, the only decent path TSR can take forward at this point is to now put your money where your mouth is and start make that change.
Right.
Like, I kind of don't really care. Like I said, feel nothing for them. I will have more respect for them if they then take that change on board and start, like, actually doing stuff
rather
than continue to wallow in their false victimhood, which I kind of suspect they're going to continue to do. Prove me wrong, TSR3.
Yeah, it's an odd... it's odd. But we'll see. We'll see if this stays alive. Or we'll see if there must be some sort of motivation, like some kind of financial situation to maintain this. The trademark will, lapse.
But like last time we talked about this, Solarian Games and Wonderfiled.
Right.
And like broke from TSR3. You'd said that you'd seen like a couple other like OSR, not OSR, but like old school artists or other people going, whoa, no, we're done with this.
Right.
Only thing I can think of, enough people did that where the people behind the TSR3 went, we got no company.
No one will work with us.
Right. We got to do something to make sure, like, damage control. Okay. Pretend, maybe possibly pretend to fire this guy or whatever, and at least give the impression that we've changed, because right. otherwise they'd have nobody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only thing I can think of.
Right. And just say, yeah, everything we said before was invalid. Please reconsider working with us. Mm. I don't know. I don't think that's going to work, but we'll see.
I don't think it's going to work either.
But let's talk about something. Well, I don't know. I don't know if this is as pleasant. Yeah, different. Let's talk about a different company and a different time. So back before D&D, not before D&D, but before Wizards of the Coast. Okay. So Wizards of the Coast took over D&D, what, 2000? Like they got it in like 97 okay. and started.
Yep. I thought it was late 90s. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I think they TSR closed in 97 and then they were sold. And so, they took over in that situation. But before that, before the and this is kind of the reason I bring this up, or that it was interesting, is because now Wizards of the Coast is doing the Adventures in the Forgotten Realms magic gathering. So it's like all kind of like weirdly connected now how things are going. So back in 1982, Stephen Michael Secchi, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Secchi, and Stephen Cordovano, and Vernie Taylor formed a company called Bard Games. Okay. And so they produced their own D&D supplements. And by 86, though, there was like disagreements in the company. Mm. And it was handed over to Cordovano, who began to work on a new game system and supplements, but then decided, I don't want to do this anymore. And then it reverted back to Secchi. Okay. And he took the opportunity to produce a new game that he was interested in called Talislantia. So Talislantia, so that would make it what, like by the like late 80s, like 87 would be the first edition of that. And so they produced that, and it has kind of a crazy history of being published. So originally Bard Games, and then that was bought, and then they tried. So many companies tried to publish it, some successfully, some unsuccessfully. But by the third edition, a little company in the northwest of America called Wizards of the Coast said, we'll publish your third edition of the game. And that generated the capital that they needed to create their card game, their original card game, Magic the Gathering. So without Talislantia third edition, there would be no Magic. I mean, there would maybe it would have been something else, but that game success generated the popularity. But in a similar way, so there's a weird similarity here. The reason that Wizards of the Coast was able to buy Bard Games and buy their rights is because Bard Games got into the same situation that TSR did, where they were working with Walden Books. And actually their first and still most successful books that they were publishing were supplements for D&D called based on Atlantis, like the Tales of Atlantis. So their Atlantis series was super popular. They made a huge deal with they fulfilled a huge order for Walden Books, not understanding that these are bookstores. They will return things that are unsold. So they overordered. It didn't sell. They sent them back and basically said, you owe us $20,000. Right. Bard Games said, we don't got that. And so then Wizards of the Coast said, hey, we'll buy you and publish your Talislantia, which then later they did again with TSR. This was kind of they kind of learned that strategy. Oh, are you guys in trouble because you made a business error? Well, let us buy you up. So the same way that they acquired the rights to Dungeons and Dragons, they acquired the rights to Talislantia.
Pro tip, don't make a book deal with Walden Books.
But those distributions, I mean, those large booksellers, you really have to know what you're dealing with, because it's incredible. And I remember that. I remember in the kind of, mid, late 90s, those just piles of D&D books in the mall bookstores and stuff. It's just like, what is all this garbage? Mm-hmm. And it was just all damaged. And, because they didn't even bother shelving it correctly, just big piles of books, stacks of books on the floor and stuff. And they were just so overwhelmed with that stuff. Of course, they were going to be returning it. And of course, TSR had no ability to pay for that. Yeah. So just a little bit about Talislantia. So the third edition was their kind of biggest set of rules, had a 344-page rule book, and the timeline and setting were overhauled. 23 different schools of magic, and from aeromancy to wizardry. So lots of magic, very heavily magic-based.
And I got aeromancy, wizardry.
And wizardry.
Magically manipulating wizards?
Yes, exactly. Like, it's the power of...
Watch out, this wand shoots wizards. This guy in a pointy hat just flies out of your wand.
So over 2 years, Wizards of the Coast published 7 books, and that helped them gear up for magic.
Cool.
And so that's a funny... So that's kind of sad, the same way that, things just kind of get consumed by Wizards of the Coast. And a funny trivia thing, Wizards of the Coast was one of the magic guilds in the campaign that the founders were playing. So the Wizards of the Coast doesn't actually existed.
From.
Yeah. It sounds a little surfer too. Could you imagine like Wizards of the Coast, the Shaka? That's their sign. But anyhow, the happy ending is Stephen Michael Sacchi retains all trademark and copyright to Talislantia, the English version of Talislantia, from 2010, and has released it all under the Creative Commons license.
Oh, wow.
So all of it is available for free up to, I believe the current version is five versions of it. So up to everything that was produced 2010 is available for free. So if you're interested in seeing this early system, definitely inspired by early D&D, but with, you know, their own, especially because they were very focused on Atlantis and kind of maybe lost worlds and magic, it seems.
Yeah, magic. 23 schools of magic. Yeah.
But so all of that is available for free if you'd like to hunt that down. It's got some really interesting artwork. I like the style that they chose for the artwork. It's very, you know, kind of like the psychedelic kind of like 50s and 60s, anything that had magic in it that was fantasy, it was all colorful and like prismatic rays and everything. Yeah. So those
How
sorts
many
of things.
Prismatic spells do they have? I don't know, with all this 23 schools of magic.
Right.
I'm going to have to look at this.
There's a lot of blacklight posters, so I guess you had to fill them with something.
The books printed that whatever velvet nonsense the thing was.
I'm sure somebody has to have done that. That's a good idea. But yes, a little bit of a happy ending.
Cool.
So, speaking of the current pandemic and gaming conventions and all that good stuff, UK Games Expo is going ahead with reduced COVID measures.
Oh, I thought you were going to say reduced capacity. No, reduced COVID measures. Mm,
yeah. So it's going to take place in Birmingham the end of this month, I guess July, right? It's a little soon. They just came out of lockdown not that long ago, didn't they, the UK? I don't know. They're working on their new variant. But they've got new guidelines. They will not require face masks. Mm. They ask attendees to take a COVID test before the event, which is not, I don't know. I don't know the UK situation, but maybe not that easy. They do not require and will not check this. So you can just say, yeah, I'm good. And, but they are going to have wider aisles and spread out in the convention space, have sanitizing stations and cleaning teams in higher traffic areas.
Cleaning teams. Now I'm imagining like those yellow suited
Monsters
Inc. is going like, and it's like hosing people down. Yeah.
Yes. Every drop of sweat that hits the floor is going to be. Yes. Yeah, so that's there's no restrictions placed on them by Public Health England. So they're going to go ahead and no face mask, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
So, because we talked a little bit about Gen Con doing a limited kind of locals only, basically.
And how do you enforce that?
Yeah, right. Kind of event and then trying to do most of the things online and have all the companies do streaming.
That to me makes more sense. Like, I've not been to an online convention. I understand they're probably not going to have the same appeal to the same people. But having a bunch of online stuff would hopefully cause people to go, do I really need to go there?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't need to pay for transportation or accommodations. It's not going to be the same, but I'm saving money by going to these online convention things. And
if they did something like, if you just registered and paid for shipping or whatever, they send you some goodies and,
Some kind of, maybe they were going to do some kind of like Gen Con pack to local retailers. And that's a much better
idea. Right. Yeah. The local game shops. Yeah, they're going to support events at local game shops. Yeah, I think that's a good idea because a big part, apart from the socializing and seeing what's new, if you can see that kind of stuff that's new online, socialize at your local game shop and then still get the kind of the swag and the stuff that's promoting stuff because they've already well in advance printed this stuff. So I'm they've got it sitting around somewhere. So your sweatbands for Pathfinder or whatever, they should just be, handing that stuff out just to keep, brand awareness and everything, just as they would at the event. But so the list of laxed requirements is kind of odd. So no face masks. The exhibitors are required to wear masks and as the staff as well. Everyone who attends the show needs to respect the choices of everyone else. That was one of the official rules. You need to respect the choices. So is that like, cheeseburger or macaroni and cheese?
But you know what? Like choosing between cheeseburger and macaroni and cheese doesn't potentially infect the person you're arguing with you know, a rather serious virus. So
yeah. The last funny detail was we are currently looking at how to handle ticket collection and see if we can prevent massing people, you know, in areas all together holding tickets and then actually, you know, handing, you know.
Time it.
Yeah. Make it, it's going to take, like literally you have to say you're in the first group, you're in the second group, you're in the third group, because otherwise you just have mobs. Yeah.
The only thing I was thinking of is what Universal Studios Japan did for your Harry Potter ticket when the Wizarding World first opened. Like, you went and you got a ticket, which was free, but they said, okay, you can only show up starting at this time.
Ah, right.
So they staggered it throughout the day. So.
That's good. You ever notice that at that Wizarding World, like, the kids go there, they get all geared up in their house, you know, they get their wand, they get their scarf or whatever, and then they walk around like gangs, like, right. You know, ready, like, come on, come at me.
Well, isn't
Hufflepuff on the scene.
Isn't that what it is?
You're right. I guess it's just a
come on, you don't associate with people outside your house. I mean, that's the whole point of it being there, right?
Yeah, I just like the thuggy Harry Potter kids walking around Universal Studios. All right. Well, that is all I've got this week. Kind of a weird week. And there's weirder stuff coming. There's more disappointment ahead. So I saved some for next week that wasn't going to get too old. But so where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always. That's Hivemind, HYVEMYND, where I'm complaining about how boring the Edgar Rice Burroughs Barsoom series is. I got it in my head to start reading or listening to the audiobook. Princess of Mars is okay, right? Kind of dated. Uh-huh. Gods of Mars, second book, my God. Edgar Rice Burroughs is the Michael Bay of early 1920s, where you just have this huge set piece. Mm-hmm. And then you just get shoved right along for kind of no rhyme or reason to another big set piece. And it's rough. Nice. And the other thing, I'm going to keep talking about it. You know how in pulp media or pulp stories, there's always like little lucky coincidences or whatever where you're like, oh, whoa, how is the hero going to get out of this one, right? Mm-hmm. Used sparingly, those work, right?
Right.
Not at the end of every goddamn chapter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. That beginning or end of it, you're like, what?
Yeah, is that because they're published serially?
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. I think, like, it's one thing to have, like, a cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. And I understand, yeah, these were published serially. And so you're going to want to retain the readers for the next month's chapter.
Yeah. Doing that novel.
You don't got to have, like, some completely improbable event happen at the beginning of every one. I don't know. Maybe just kind of the time period people like that, I guess, because they were kind of popular. But
that's the same thing. I've seen that when they've collected, like in Japan, they'll do, if a show isn't popular, like an anime show like in the 70s or 80s wasn't popular, they take like the first four episodes and make a movie out of it.
Oh, really?
And then release it theatrically. But the kind of narrative is just like, what's now it doesn't make any sense between episodes. The characters like change their their whole atmosphere. But it's pretty bizarre. Okay.
Yeah, I also got a box, kind of like, it's called like a game kit from the Game Crafter, I think, because I think I talked before about how they have a contest going about like anything you can fit inside this box.
Right.
And I was thinking of doing Card Hammer for that. So I ordered like a game kit and it's the box that, you know, everything is white. Mm-hmm. So there's no text or nothing on anything, but it's basically one of everything they produce, basically. So you got like one of like 50 different sizes of cards, like one of like all the different kinds of like meeples and tokens and all this stuff. So you can kind of check the quality and see that. And
that's cool.
That's pretty cool. And you can just kind of look at sizes and stuff. And I was surprised at how quickly that showed up, given kind of international shipping and stuff like that.
Was it coming from the UK?
It was coming from the US.
Really? Oh, that is surprising. Yeah.
That showed up fairly quickly. But yeah, I'm going through that and that's pretty fun. So anyway, cool.
Excellent.
So after all that, my Twitter feed, where can people find you?
Well, sometimes they can find me. I do a single panel gag cartoon that I draw weekly on a live stream. I missed it this week because I had a big cartoon bandage on my head, and I don't think I would have made much sense. I don't think I could have even drawn very well, actually. But I do that every what is it, Monday evening. I do it on Tuesdays, kind of afternoon in Japan. So Monday night, North American time. So tune into that. And that's Abuse Cartoons. So on Twitch and YouTube, Abuse Cartoons, and follow on Twitter at Abuse Cartoons, and abusecartoons.com is the website. If you'd like to find out more about Upturn Table, visit upturntable.com, and you can also support us becoming a weekling on patreon.com/upturntable. And then, of course, follow us on all social media at Upturn Table. And we'll do this the same thing every week. And this is a reminder that more Mutant Chronicles video is coming. So I have
recorded. The embossing comes through on the video.
Oh, it doesn't. Yeah. But this is the sign of the brotherhood is on this on this book. So more Mutant Chronicles. The Megabody is a kind of a deep lore short that I've finished recording. It's just in editing now. But this week I totally lost this week as far as being able to work. So yeah, that's coming soon. So take a look. Keep a lookout for the Megabody deep lore for the Mutant Chronicles.
That sounds very ominous.
Yes, it is pretty fucking terrifying. All right. So we'll be back again next week. Thanks everyone for joining us, and we'll keep on keeping on. Yeah. So see you next week.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.